Okay, here's a question from a devotee in Gainesville, Florida. For about the past, this received via email, for about the past 5 months, I have been engaged more actively in book distribution. All right, very good. Every Thursday I go around knocking on doors at different apartment buildings with another devotee, and I also try to distribute books every day at Krishna lunch on the university campus. One day when I was walking back by myself to the preaching center from the campus, I saw this man preaching in the plaza. You know what a plaza is? It's like an open space where, open public space where people congregate. It was obvious that he was from some kind of church, and he was speaking out against all other religions with the exception of his own. There were many students gathered around him asking questions. Usually I ignore these kinds of preachers and just keep walking. However, this particular preacher was speaking out against the worship of Krishna. He was saying that Krishna cannot be God because he was killed in a hunting accident and left a material body. When I saw him preaching like this, I felt very disturbed that all of the students around him were misled into thinking that Krishna was a human and could be killed. Since I've gained more confidence and desire to speak about Krishna due to book distribution, I wanted to say something to try and clear up this misconception, but I started to think that he would not understand what I had to say. So I ended up just walking away. I would like to know what is the best thing to do in these circumstances. Is it better to kindly say something or walk away? Better to say something. You have to see the situation also. But generally it's better to say. My standard reply to accusations against Krishna, actually in this case, because it was a Christian, it seems that this was a so-called Christian, I would say, well, your Jesus was also killed then. And then he would give some explanation. No. And then say, well, Krishna people also have an explanation. But my standard thing is, usually people criticize that Krishna, he can't be God because he danced with gopis. I say, how do you know he danced with gopis? How do you know he left a material? How do you know he died? And you say, it says in your books. Well, if you accept what's in the book, then you accept what it says there also. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's my standard. And it's specifically stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this Jara, who accidentally shot Krishna in the foot, that Krishna said to him, don't worry, this is all, anyway, it's time for me to leave this world, and I'm enacting this pastime just to bewilder the atheists. And then he went back to the... He left a so-called material form, but he went back to the spiritual world in his original spiritual form. So it's stated in the... So if you wanted to accept that story, then you have to accept all of it. You can't just take half of it. And Krishna also lifted Govardhan Hill and showed the universal form, and in so many ways demonstrated that he is the Supreme Lord. Will this man understand? No. Because they don't want to understand. But... At least you could make it clear to the people who are there. The man won't understand, but it's not that Krishna devotees have this highly sophisticated theology, far more sophisticated than anything in anywhere, definitely more sophisticated than Christianity, and that they're not aware of such accusations, and that they don't have answers to it. So I don't think all the students would be misled. Or they might have some doubt, but you can reply to them. It's quite good that he was speaking about Krishna and debunking it, or trying to debunk it. Because in Gainesville, several hundred students, university students, take prasad lunch every day. Have you been there? You visited their Krishna lunch? I went there once. I'm saying to Nitai Chaitanya, he was in America for 5 years, something like that.
4 years.
4 years, yeah. So the students there, even the ones who don't regularly attend, many of them they like our devotees because they take prasadam every day. I saw that in moving around and gains, and even in the airport and everything. They have students. They work in the airline counters, part time jobs, and they all like us. Last time I was there, we were flying from Gainesville to somewhere in South Florida. And they're saying, oh, you're having a big... It was on Radhashtami Day. I was going... said, oh, you're having a festival there. You're not going to be in Alachua? I said, no, I'm going somewhere else for the festival. I said, oh, he said, I'll try and make it over there in the afternoon. This is at the check-in counter. So a couple of students were there. So they're envious because these Christians are envious because we're having a much greater effect on the students than they are. And many people in America, they really don't like this kind of, burn in hell kind of preaching that Christians have. You experienced that also?
Yeah,
you were in the north, you were in Boston, huh? Boston was a center of Christianity. Well, all of America, but I guess some places more than others. But Mahatattva Prabhu, who's got more experience in, or who's more tuned into preaching to youth than any other senior, this present generation than any other senior devotee in America, I would think. He says that the young people, they're so turned off by this Christian kind of preaching that they don't even want to hear the word God. You can't even say the word God because it has so many bad connotations with it. But I also noticed in my recent visits in America that the Christians themselves have become these hardcore preachers. They're also toned down a bit and they try to be a little reasonable. Some of them. That they're not all just completely smashing your Bible bashing, but some of them. But then, if they try to have a reasonable conversation with you, then 5 minutes maximum you can keep them quiet, because they have no replies to things. I've had that experience also. They try to have some conversation, and you just ask them one or two questions. They've got nothing to say. They get bewildered. So if Christians are willing to discuss in what might be considered a civilized and reasonable way, and they want to appear like that in front of others, then it's not very difficult to point out faults in their philosophy. For instance, if God loves everyone equally, then why are some people born in a Christian country and others in a country where they'll never even hear about Jesus? You can only get saved by the grace of Jesus, but some people never hear of Jesus. And what happened to all the people who were born before Jesus? And what happens to a baby who's born and they die after 3 weeks? That's why, they try to baptize them quickly in some traditions. As soon as they get out of the hospital, get them over to the church, put some water on them, phew, saved. If they don't get that water on their head, they're going to burn in hell forever. But then they had a whole problem with that. In the Catholic Church, they invented this place called limbo. They invented in the Christian theology that babies who are not baptized in time and they just die, they go to a place called limbo. And now that's been struck off Catholic theology. So for a few hundred years, babies born in Catholic families who couldn't get baptized in time before they died, they went to limbo. But now the Pope decided that limbo doesn't exist. So, it's absurd. It's just absurd. No intelligent person can take it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says about this also, that that God, he, someone disobeyed the order, someone ate an apple, and because of that, the whole human race has to suffer. But then God, out of his kindness, sent his son to suffer all the sins of everyone, and he died. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that no intelligent person can take this seriously. It's just nonsense. So, Hare Krishna. We'll finish there for now. Hare Krishna.